الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سلك سبيله واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب قول الله تعالى ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه الآية. The author he mentioned the chapter رحمه الله تعالى with regards to the statement of Allah the Most High ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها. And to Allah alone belong all of the most beautiful names, so therefore call on Him by way of them. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. And turn away and leave those who belie and deny and misinterpret His names. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. The author, he says that ayah, meaning until the end of the verse. And the verse continues, سَيُجَزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That indeed they are going to be recompensed for the actions that they performed, meaning for that ilhad and for that misinterpretation and denial and rejection and disbelief of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So closing the verse in this manner, this is a great threat. A threat for those who belie and deny the names and attributes of Allah azza wa jal, or misinterpret them, or misunderstand them and the likes like this. This is a major affair. But what is intended in this chapter is not to discuss the principles with regards to the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat, but rather to continue the discussion from that which has proceeded from the previous chapters, clarifying the obligation of preserving the tongue and having etiquettes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most noble and lofty etiquettes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the words and the expressions a person he uses, and from that, that which is related to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There has been a number of chapters that have preceded clarifying the obligation of selecting the proper words and the proper expressions in order to say what one intends or experiences or wants and the likes like this, and to avoid using any words or terms or expressions that could have a bad meaning with regards to the affairs of creed, that could have a bad meaning or could be considered having bad manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in statement, even if a person, he did not intend that. And we have seen previously likewise, any that this is the case, it's not with regards to intentions, rather it's regards to the words. If a person had intended some of these statements, then the ruling would be different, and the situation would be more severe. So just the fact that a person, he made a mistake or an error in some of the terms that he uses, and this is considered impermissible and a deficiency in Tawheed. So continuing from this aspect is this issue here with regards to the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. With regards to the names, the beautiful names and the lofty attributes of perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's an obligation to honor them, and it's an obligation to respect them. And from honoring and respecting the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to believe in them, is to believe in all of the names and attributes of Allah azza wa jal that He has mentioned for Himself in His book, or that His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned for Him, and to affirm them in a manner befitting His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to not deny any of them, and to not misinterpret any of them, or to change the meaning from what is apparent, and to likewise believe that these beautiful names, they are from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are from His beautiful names, and each name it indicates an attribute of perfection. It indicates an attribute of perfection. Every beautiful name of Allah Azza wa Jal is not simply a name with no meaning. Rather, each name indicates a beautiful meaning as well, a meaning of perfection, an attribute and characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is derived that is derived from that name. That is derived from that name. Likewise, from honoring and having proper manners and etiquettes with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that those names that are specific to Allah azza wa jal, they will be for Him only, and nothing from the creation and no one from the creation will have those names. Like the name of Allah, Allah, and like the name Ar-Rahman, and the likes like this. And this issue has proceeded likewise, that there are certain names that are specific for Allah alone, and it's not allowed for anyone in the creation to have those names, like the name Allah and the name Ar-Rahman, and those similar to this, and those similar to this, those that have the names that indicate the attributes that are specifically for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not allowed to name anyone from the creation by these names. And likewise, there are other names that it's allowed to name the people. It's allowed to name the people, like Kareem, yani in a manner befitting the individual, to name him Kareem. This has come, yani in the evidences in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and the details of this issue has proceeded in the previous chapters. So likewise, from the aspects of honoring and respecting the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that the names that we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are established in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and not in any other manner. We do not innovate new names or make up new names, but rather the establishment of each name is by way of the authentic text. So therefore we only know the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which we know from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And from the authentic sources in this manner. Also from the means of honoring and having proper manners with the etiquettes of Allah Azza wa Jal is that one will not derive from these names for the false gods. And he like what the mushrikun have done with regards to Al-Izzah. They have derived this name of one of their false gods from the name of Allah Al-Aziz and the likes like this. So also this is not allowed. Rather, this is from those aspects of Al-Ilhad and of deviating away from the proper meaning and inclining to falsehood with regards to these names. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ In these last two points, this is what the author he is referring to in this chapter specifically. So this is with regards to the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى And all the most beautiful names that belong to Allah. And the beauty of these names is that they are the most perfect and beautiful names, and every name, it contains a beautiful attribute. An attribute of perfection that has no deficiency in it whatsoever. Allah Azza wa Jal, for example, His name is Al-Alim. That means He has the attribute of knowledge. But it is an attribute of perfection, meaning He knows all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that has happened and everything that will happen, and everything that did not happen, if it had happened, how it would happen. He has ultimate and complete knowledge. Al-Hakim, He has ultimate and complete wisdom. Al-Sami', He has ultimate and complete hearing. Al-Basir, ultimate and complete seeing. Ar-Rahim, ultimate and complete mercy, no deficiency whatsoever from any aspect, no weakness. Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, subhanahu wa ta'ala, His life is perfect, and He is powerful and strong, and He's never weak nor tired nor sleepy. He's not hungry, He doesn't get thirsty, He feeds and He's not fed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every name, it indicates an attribute of perfection. An attribute of perfection befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal and His honor. And His honor, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا So therefore call on Him by way of them. The people of knowledge, they mentioned a number of meanings understood from this portion of the verse. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا So therefore call on Him by way of them. From them is the meaning of a da'wah. The meaning of a da'wah has come authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever he was mentioning the month of al-Muharram. He said, وَشَحْرُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ al-Muharram. وَشَحْرُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ تَدْعُونَهُ يعني تسمونه. تسمونه. So here a da'wah, it means a tasmiyah. يعني فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا فَسَمُّهُ بِهَا فَسَمُّهُ بِهَا. So therefore, the most beautiful names, they all belong to Allah, so call Him by way of them. And He called Him by these names. His name is As-Sami', so call Him As-Sami'. His name is Al-Basir, so call Him Al-Basir. His name is Ar-Rahim, Ar-Ra'uf, Al-Wahhab, Al-Mannan. So call Him by these names. This is one of the interpretations of this meaning. Another interpretation which is more famous and mentioned by the scholars of Tafsir, فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا يَنِي الدُّعَى. الدُّعَى. دُعَى الْعِبَادَةِ وَدُعَى الْمَسْأَلَةِ. And both of them are ibadah. To call on Him by way of them, meaning to supplicate to Him. And to call on Him by way of them. Yani by mentioning Him and praising Him with His beautiful names. By mentioning Him and praising Him with His beautiful names. This is one aspect. This is called dua al-ibadah. That a person, he will praise Allah and mention His beautiful names and praising Him by way of that. And another type is dua al-mas'ala. And this is to call on Allah and to mention His beautiful names and ask Him by way of them. For the person who is fallen into sin and fallen into disobedience and he's asking for repentance and asking for mercy, he will call on Allah by these names. Allahumma ikfirli warhamni innaka anta al-ghafuru rahim. Allahumma ya ghafur ikfirli, like this. Allahumma ya tawab tuba alayya, in this manner, like this. Or the one who is asking for provision, he would ask Allah by the names of Al-Razzaq, or the name of Al-Wahhab, or the name of Al-Mannan, or the name of Al-Kareem. Allahumma ya Kareem akrimni biwaladin salihin, for example, ruzuqni waladan salihan ya rab ya wahhab habri zawjatan saliha, in the manner like this. He will call on Allah by these names that have the indication of giving and of generosity, al-jawad al-karim, and of provision and providing. And many of the supplications that have come in the Quran, and specifically those that are mentioned yani about the messengers, or that they have mentioned, they begin with the word Rabb, calling on Allah by Rabb. Yani those that are in the Quran, and likewise yani those that are in the Quran in general, and those that are in the Quran specifically mentioning that this was from the statements and supplications of some of the prophets. And this has a beautiful meaning, yani with regards to calling on Allah by Ar-Rabb, Rabbi, Rabbi Kfili, and the likes like this, so on and so forth, or the supplications that's in the Quran. Likewise, whenever you call on Allah by that name, Ar-Rabb, Allah, He is Ar-Rabb, He is the creator and sustainer, He is the provider, and He is the one who has given everything a shape and its form, and nothing happens in His creation except with His permission. And likewise, He is the one also that cultivates and raises. So He is providing the physical means and needs that we have and fulfilling that, but likewise He is the one who is guiding to faith, and He is the one who is raising His righteous and noble believers by way of iman and sincere faith. So there is the rububiyyah al-amma wa rububiyyah al-khassa. So it's as if those prophets and messengers and those supplications that have come in that manner, they're yani paying attention to this affair. That Allah, He is the one who cultivates His slaves upon piety. Allah, He is the one who cultivates His slaves upon righteousness and sincere faith, and upon shyness from Him, and from disobeying Him, and from hoping for His reward and fearing His punishment. So this is from the favor of the Rabb. Ar-Rabb hu ladhi yurabbi ibadahu al-mu'minin ala ibadatihi wa ikhlasi lahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the Rabb, the one who cultivates His believing slaves. The cultivation and the tarbiyah al-imaniyah that is specific for the believers. So to call on Allah by the name Ar-Rabb, this is also a major affair. And to recollect and to remember this meaning here, that the provision of faith and the guidance of the heart is in the hands of Ar-Rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in the hands of the Lord, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So all of this here is included in calling Allah, yani, and calling on Allah by way of His names. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجَزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And turn away. وَذَرُوا يعني ذَرُوا يعني أُتْرُكُوا تَعِدُوا عَنْهُمْ. And to turn away from them, to leave them and turn away from them, those who make ilhad in the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla. يعني يُلْحِدُونَ يُمِيلُونَ عَنَ السَّوَابِ وَالْحَقِّ فِيهَا. That they turn away. They incline away from the truth with regards to that. And there's a number of ways of how this will occur. Al-ilhad بِأَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْحُسْنَى. And that they would say that which is incorrect, or incline to that which is wrong, and not proper with regard to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is telling us here, rather commanding us and ordering us that we would turn away from them. We would turn away from them in their way. So those people who misinterpret or deny or speak ill of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ascribe to Him that which He's free from, it's an obligation to turn away from them and to not be with them nor from them. To not be with them nor from them, or to not be from them nor with them. To not be from them, to not be from those who misinterpret the names of Allah Azza wa Jal and His attributes. To not be from those who deny or resemble His attributes to the creation. Or to be from those who misinterpret. Or to be from those who have lowly manners and the likes like that with Allah Azza wa Jal. To not be from them and to not be with them. To not be from them and to not be with them and to not debate and to quarrel with them likewise. All of this is included here. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. Turn away and leave those people who misinterpret and deny and belie the names, His beautiful name, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, they are going to be recompensed for that which they have done. So after this, the author, he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, ذَكَرَ إِبْنُ أَبِي حَاتِمْ عَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ أَيُشْرِكُونَ. يُشْرِكُونَ. It's mentioned here that Ibn Abi Hatim, he has narrated with this chain on Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma with regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, those who belie and deny His names, making ilhad with regards to the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning yushrikun, meaning associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned that in reference and referring back to the tafsir of Ibn Abi Hatim, they have found that this is not narrated from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Actually, it's narrated from Qatada. This particular interpretation here is narrated from Qatada by Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah. And as for the statement of Ibn Abbas, he's mentioned that he said at-takdhib. What is intended here? At-takdhib, to belie and to deny. To belie and to deny. So that which has been narrated from Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma with regards to the interpretation of this verse, that they make ilhad in the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning they belie them and deny them. As for what has been narrated from Qatada, rahimahullah, Qatada ibn Di'am al-Sudusi from the Tabi'in, he died in 117, yushrikun, associating partners with Allah, meaning deriving names for the creation and calling their false gods by the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by names derived from those names and the likes like this, and he associating partners with Allah in this manner. وَعَنْهُ سَمُّوا أَلَّاتَ مِنَ الْإِلَهِ سَمُّوا أَلَّاتَ مِنَ الْإِلَهِ وَالْعُزَّ مِنَ الْعَزِيزِ. And also it has been collected by Ibn Abi Hatim also from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma that they said that they had called their god Al-Lat, which was an idol that they had worshipped besides Allah. They had called this idol by Al-Lat, deriving it from the name Al-Ilah. Al-Lat, it's a feminine form of the word Ilah. And they have derived it and called their idol by that name. And Al-Uzza is from Al-Aziz. Al-Uzza likewise is a feminine form derived from the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Aziz. So this is also a clarification of that. As for this chain here, the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, this second interpretation that is narrated by Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, the chain to Ibn Abbas is very weak, but it has been narrated authentically from Mujahid rahimahullah, Mujahid ibn Jabr, who is one of the greatest students of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma from the Tabi'in. He died in the year 109 in this area like this. And it's been authentically reported from him that he mentioned that they had called their false god Al-Lat and derived that from the name Al-Ilah, and their false god Al-Uzza and derived that from the name Al-Aziz. So this is established on the Salaf. وعن العامش رحمه الله يدخلون فيها ما ليس منها. And it's been narrated by Al-Amash. Al-Amash likewise is from the Tabi'in. His name is Sulaiman ibn Mihran Abu Muhammad Al-Amash. He died in 148. It's mentioned about him and Qatada. Two of them have preceded. Qatada ibn Di'am al-Sadusi wa Sulaiman ibn Mihran Al-Amash, that these two are from the six of the Tabi'in that the majority of the narrations revolve around. The majority of the narrations revolve around six individuals from the Tabi'in, and two of them are mentioned here. Qatad ibn Di'am al-Sudusi and al-A'mash. Sulaiman ibn Mihran. Sulaiman ibn Mihran. He says here, يُدْخِلُونَ فِيهَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهَا. That they include from the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla that which is not from them. And they introduce names that are not established in the text. They introduce names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are not established in the text. So this is a foul manner, you know, to make ilhad and to misinterpret or to deny or to belie or to ascribe to Allah that which He's free from, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, they're tawqifiyya, all of them, meaning that it's required, meaning that they're based upon evidence in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And understanding them likewise, to understand them, to affirm those names for Allah Azza wa Jal and the attributes that are derived from there in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah, without denying them, or without changing the meaning, or distorting the meaning, or without misinterpreting them, yeah, I need to have another meaning, and the likes like that, rather affirming them in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for how the reality of them are, then we do not know. So this issue here of how the attributes are, this one is entrusted to Allah. Whenever Allah, He mentions He has a particular attribute, we believe in that. Whenever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Allah, He has a particular attribute, we believe in that. And we affirm that in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah. And we do not resemble that to the creation whatsoever. And likewise, we do not distort the meaning from its original meaning. And if the word, it has a particular meaning, so we affirm that meaning. Hearing means hearing. And seeing means seeing, and mercy means mercy, and knowledge means knowledge, and wisdom means wisdom. We know the meaning of these words in English and in Arabic, and likewise hands means hands, and face means face, and so on and so forth. These words, they have meanings, we understand these meanings, but as for how they are with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is something we do not know. We know that it is not resembling anything in the creation, rather it's greater than all of that. Allahu Akbar. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. So this is the case here. We affirm them. We do not deny them. We do not belie them. We do not misinterpret them. We do not ask how they are. How are they? La. We do not know how they are. But we have been informed about them in the clear Arabic language. So therefore we affirm them in that clear Arabic language without distorting the meanings whatsoever. So this is from the honoring and respecting them, and this is what is obligatory. Contrary to that, it's called ilhad. Ilhad. الإلحاد في أسماء الله وصفاته سبحانه وتعالى الميل بها عن الحق والصواب يعني الميل بها يعني to incline and turn away, to deviate away from that which is correct and that which is proper with regards to those names and attributes. So from that is that they would call their gods, their false gods, by some of the names of Allah, or they would derive the names from the names of Allah to call their false gods and the likes like this. And also they would ascribe, or they would call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by names that are not befitting for Him. By names that are not befitting for Him, and did not come in the Quran or in the Sunnah, like what the Christians do. They call Him the Father. They call Allah the Father, al-Ab. Like this, waliyadu billah. This is foul, and this is not established. This is from al-ilhad and deviation, and also from yani disrespect with regards to these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others, they have deviated with regards to the ascriptions and the descriptions, ascribing to Allah that which is free from. Some of the Jews, they have ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's poor, and Allah faqir. They said that Allah is poor, or that He's stingy, that He's greedy. يَدَاهُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَ. That the hands of Allah are tied up. The hands of Allah are tied up, refrain, meaning that He's stingy. And some of them, they mentioned that whenever they heard the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal calling on the believers, مَنْ يُقْرِدُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who would give Allah a beautiful loan? They say, oh, our Lord is so poor, He has to have someone give Him a loan. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And they make these foul and lowly statements like this, ascribing to Allah Azza wa Jal these blameworthy traits. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Likewise, to deny those names. To deny them, like what the Jahmiyyah have done, and the Mu'tazila have done, and the Asha'ira have done, And some of them are worse than others, but they have denied the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether all of them or some of them, or certain aspects of them. And the worst of them, they would say that Allah azza wa jal, they affirmed his names like As-Sami'. They say, Sami'un bila sama', wa basirun bila basar, wa alimun bila ilm, wa rahimun bila rahma, like this, that he is all hearing without hearing, and all seeing without seeing, and all knowing without knowledge. And they would say the likes of these words, and they would not affirm the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would not affirm the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would belie them and deny them entirely. And this is a foul way likewise. And all of this is stemming from their false understanding and misinterpretation, and the fact that they are not able to realize that whatever is ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's according to His majesty and His honor, and according to His greatness subhanahu wa ta'ala, and befitting for Him. And whatever is ascribed to the creation, then it's befitting to the creation likewise. So their issue is that they will not understand these names and attributes except by resembling them or liking them to the creation. Except by resembling them or liking them to the creation. So why they deny the attributes of al-istiwa, and that Allah, He rose above the throne. Because they do not understand the istiwa except the istiwa of the creation. So therefore they had denied that. This led them to denying that. Because they say, for example, a person who made istiwa on a ship, to rise upon something. For example, somebody who got on a boat. If the boat falls or sinks, what happens to the person on the boat? The person who made istiwa on the boat, and he's riding on, he got on top of the boat, and then the boat sinks. Somebody who made istiwa and got on top of a plane, and he's riding on top of on a plane, and then the plane falls, what happens to the person? So the person, he is in need of the thing that he's riding on. A person, if he makes istiwa onto something, if he gets onto something, he rises above onto something, then he's in need of that thing. If that thing falls, he falls along with it. So therefore they had made the similar analogy and mentioned that if Allah, He made istiwa on the throne, then He's in need of the throne. So therefore He didn't make istiwa on the throne. Understand that? But we say the problem here is that these people, they can only understand these attributes from the creation. So they're making resemblance. And this is what led them to make, to deny the attribute. But we say that the istiwa of the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the istiwa of the creation. So that Allah, He rose above the throne in a manner befitting His majesty. We do not know how He did that, but He did not do that like the creation. He did not do that in a manner of the creation. The creation makes istiwa in a manner befitting the majesty of the creation. And likewise, the creator. So the issue is completely different. So the people of knowledge, they mention al-kalamu fi sifati far'un an al-kalami fi dhat, that if you want to discuss the issue and understand the issue of the attributes, then this is stemming from understanding the characteristic and the traits of the essence. So we know that Allah, He exists subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He exists in a manner befitting His majesty. How His existence is, we do not know. So if we do not know His very existence, how He exists, then how could we know His attributes? So to understand His attributes and these details and how they are, one would first have to know how His essence and His life is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we do not know that. So we all affirm that Allah, He has a life and He has an essence and He has an existence. And we all affirm that His existence and His life and His essence is not like the life or the existence of anything in the creation. So therefore, likewise, His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand this point. So, to belie them or to deny them, this is stemming from making tashbih. This is stemming from resembling them to the creation. From resembling them to the creation. So we do not resemble them to the creation whatsoever. Rather, Allah, there's nothing resembling Him. Rather, He's greater than everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has created this life and given everything a shape and its form. And He's the one who's created the human being in a manner that's well known, and created the trees likewise in a manner that's well known, and the fish and the animals and the chickens and the birds and the insects and this whole life and this amazing creation that He sustains, that He created and shaped and formed and brought into existence and sustains and provides for in the most beautiful manner. There's nothing like Him. Rather, He's greater than all of that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, He's greater than all of that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the author, he says, fihi masail. In this chapter, there are some issues to discuss. Al-ula, ithbatul asma. The first issue is to affirm the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's to affirm the names. Walillahi al-asma'ul husna. To affirm them. And we affirm them. Al-ithbatu bila t. tashbih, to affirm them without liking them to anything in the creation. We affirm them without liking them to anything in the creation. And likewise, without asking how any of the reality of they are. We affirm the names and we affirm the meanings that they contain and the attributes that are derived from them in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah. كَمَا يَلِيكُ بِجَلَالِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. الثَّانِيَ كَوْنُهَا حُسْنَى. The second benefit or issue is that these names, all of them are husna. Yani they're at the peak. They're at the peak of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever. All of his names are names that are beautiful. All of his names, they're at the peak of beauty and at the peak of perfection. And all of them likewise indicate the most beautiful name, an attribute of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever. الثالثة الأمر بدعائه بها. The third mas'ala is that we're commanded to call on him by way of them, to call on Allah by way of his names. And this is from the proper aspect of it, tawassul, of drawing near and seeking a means to Allah Azza wa Jal by praising him, by mentioning his names, by mentioning his lordship, by mentioning his favor and his blessings. And his names that indicate these affairs. He has names that indicate his power and his authority and his command, indicating his honor and his majesty. Names indicating that he is the provider and sustainer, that he's very kind and generous and merciful. Names indicating his strength and that he's able to do all things. Names indicating his divinity and his perfection. Names indicating that he is the provider and sustainer, and nothing happens except with his permission. So to call on him by these names and to seek nearness by way of these names and mentioning these names and drawing near to him like that. And he, from the supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghithu, aslih li sha'ni kullah, la ilaha illa ant. He would begin by mentioning those two beautiful names. And then he would ask and seek relief from the mercy of Allah. And he like this, and he praising Allah in this manner, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, praising Allah, Ya Mannan, Ya Kareem. Praising Allah, you praise Allah by, and then you ask what you need, or you even ask Allah what you need by mentioning that specific name from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is included here. This is the proper tawassul. This is the proper means to draw near to Allah. When he wants to draw near to Allah, he will draw near like this. And this is what we have been taught in the Fatiha. And the Fatiha, Allah, he has taught us this in the first chapter of his book. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. To praise Allah Azza wa Jal and to glorify him and thank him because he is the Lord. He is the Rabb of the creation and everything that exists. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, call on him by his name, the most gracious, the most merciful. Maliki Yawm al-Din, from his attributes, the master and the owner of the day of resurrection. And then after that, to confess and to that one surrenders and submits to him. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And then after that, to ask your need. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. So therefore, this is the proper way to make tawassul. As for the way of the Sufiya today and those misguided people who are attracted to the graves and who are attached to the graves and have fallen into shirk waliyadu billah, then they make tawassul by calling on the dead. They make tawassul by calling on the dead. Some dead sheikh who died 100 years ago, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 years ago. They make tawassul thinking that they're going to get near to Allah by calling on the names of these sheikhs. By calling on the names of these sheikhs. And this is falsehood. This is falsehood. Rather, this is major shirk waliyadu billah. And that the heart will be attached to anything in the creation, this is any complete loss and failure. And that the heart will be attached to something that's dead from the creation is even more ignorant and even more foolish. Even more foolish. But rather, the heart should be attached to al-hayy, al-ladhi la yamut, the one who's alive and never dies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's the one who has the most beautiful names and attributes of perfection. So if you want to call on someone, then call on him. And if you seek nearness to anyone, seek nearness to him and through him by mentioning his names. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arabiya tarku ma arada min al-jahilin. Tarku man arada min al-jahilina al-mulhidin. The fourth benefit here is that one must turn away from those who are in opposition, from the ignorant and from those who deny and belie the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to turn away from them and to leave them and to avoid them and to not debate and argue and quarrel with them. Debating and arguing and quarreling in the affairs of the religion is not from the ways of the people of the sunnah. The origin is that a Muslim, he will not argue and debate about the deen. The origin is that a Muslim, he will not argue and debate about the deen. This is the fundamental principle that people start debating and arguing and going back and forth about this and that, about creed and belief, about rulings and the likes like this. The origin is a believer, he will not be involved in that. The only time somebody will be involved in that is for those who are qualified and whenever it's required for them. Even a person of knowledge himself, he will not be involved in that. He will turn away from the likes of that. And he will only step into the realm of arguing and quarreling whenever it's required for him and necessary for him and becomes an obligation for him to clarify the truth. And then he'll do that with the intention of hoping to clarify the truth and likewise to clarify the falsehood and also to help benefit the individual so that he will go straight, not to belittle them. Not to belittle them and the likes like this, but hoping good for them that they will accept the truth and at bare minimum the people will see the truth and the falsehood will be made clear and the right way will be made clear and the likes like this. So we have a beautiful intention. But as for just debating and arguing, this is not from the way of the people of the Sunnah. This is from the first principles. Alhamdulillah, you have taken, yani whenever you study with Shaykh Khalif, Usul al-Sunnah by Imam Ahmad. وَتَرْقُ الْجِدَالِ وَالْمِرَاءِ فِي الدِّينِ. And this is from the maybe the fourth or fifth principle, if not the third, and that Imam Ahmad, he mentioned, leaving off quarreling and debating and arguing in the religion. Leaving off quarreling and debating and arguing in the religion. A man, he came to Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and he said he wanted to debate. And then Imam Malik, he said, if I win the debate, then what have? He said, I'm going to follow you. He said, if you win the debate, then what should we do? He said, then you have to follow me. He said, okay, then what if somebody else comes in and he overpowers both of us in the debate and wins the argument? He said, then we're going to follow him. He said, yeah, hada. They said, dinu bighalaba. He said, oh man, the religion is not based upon overpowering somebody. And you know, going, you'd be somebody, sometimes the people of falsehood, they have the gift of gab. It's a test and a trial from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Some people, they're upon falsehood. Like this man, Jifri. You know him? You heard of him? Jifri, this guy, the Sufi guy. He is upon falsehood in the most clearest manner, but he has the gift of gab. He can talk and he can mention verses and he can mention hadith. And in the end, all of that, he would twist it in order to make it permissible to call on those graves. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. He's from the worst of the people of falsehood of our day. From the most evil of the people of falsehood of our day and the most deviant. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And he has tongue that is fluent and the likes like this. So just the fact that a person is able to speak and he's able to overcome people and silence them and the likes like this in conversation or in debate, this is not an indication he's upon truth. Even sometimes a person, he will have that ability and he will say that which is true, but he is not aiding or establishing the truth, rather he is calling to himself. He's calling to himself. We have seen that in the beginning of this book, the author, he warned from that. And some people, they call to falsehood and they decorate it with the truth. And they do that in a beautiful manner, to be aware of that. And then likewise, others, they call to the truth, but they have a foul intention. And in reality, they call to their self. And the one who is successful is the one who will humble himself before Allah and seek his aid and seek refuge with Allah from the likes of those affairs and call to the truth that he knows and hope that it will benefit the people and that the religion of Allah will be established in their hearts and in their lands and in their homes. And the hearts and in their homes and in their lands. This is the goal, that the deen of Allah is established and that the people, they follow the sunnah. That the people, they follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the religion of Islam is victorious and well known. And spread through the land and applied. This is the goal and the aim from a da'wah, a salafiyah. So the author, he says, Al-Khamisa, Tafsir al-Ilhadi fiha, the interpretation of making ilhad in those names. Yani meaning, again, to turn away from the truth and to deviate away from that which is correct. Al-Maylu and al-Sawabi fiha. What is intended here, yani with regards to those words, yani this chapter specifically, again, with regards to the terms. With regards to the terms, but in reality, the issue of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal and His attributes is a major issue, and from the foundations of the religion, yani from the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. As-Sadisa wa'idu man al-hada. The fourth issue here is the threat for the one who misinterprets or denies or belies some of the names of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and this is in the closing of that verse, sayujazawna ma. سَيُجَزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, that they will be recompensed for their deeds. And if those who belie those names and deny those names and misinterpret those names or disrespect those names, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, then they will be recompensed for that action. They will be recompensed for those deeds. And after this, the author, he mentioned the chapter, Babu la yuqalu as-salamu ala Allah. Babu la yuqalu as-salamu ala Allah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.